Good morning. If you want to turn in your Bible somewhere this morning, go ahead and turn to Ephesians. I'm going to be a bit topical today, but we'll be in James a little bit, but mostly in Ephesians. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Ephesians. Before we get started, though, as normal, let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we give thanks. Thank you for your word that instructs us, the word of life that cuts down to our hearts and changes us and shows us who we are. And we give thanks. Father, we believe in the power of the preached word. I pray that this morning that Jesus would be lifted up as all the scriptures point to him. I pray that truth would be shared. I pray, Father, that I would decrease, that Jesus would increase. Father, in spite of me, I pray that you would work. And Father, we just give you this time. Help us, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've given a lot of thought as to whether I should address what is happening around us in response to the death and what appears to be the murder at the hand of a police officer while three others stood by of Mr. George Floyd. And I've had some talks with some of you, and I've talked with some of our elders and other pastors. And if you've been attending Grace very long, you know I don't usually respond directly from the pulpit to particular topics or issues. I do respond, but my responses flow naturally as applications from the scriptures as I preach through whole books of the Bible. And again, I've spoken with a number of you, and I think this might be a good time to give some thoughts. And so the title to this sermon this morning is Pastoral Thoughts on Racism, Justice, and Love in Response to the Current Crisis Concerning the Death of George Floyd. Now, I do not claim to know the motives of the police officers or those of Mr. Floyd. I do not know the motives of the millions of protesters around the world, nor the motives of politicians and powers that be. I certainly do not have a political agenda in sharing these words. I share them as a Christian. I share them as one who desires peace and justice in the world. And I share them as one of your pastors at Grace so that we might be wise, knowing how to think and how to act biblically, which is wise. James says to us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, I may fall very short with specific applications for us today, but I hope not to fall short of the principal truths and motives from which all of our thoughts and responses as Christians must come forth. So with this in mind, I want to organize these thoughts around three topics. First, racism. And these will be very brief, but this is how I've chosen to do it. The first is racism. Second is justice. And we're going to hit those today. And then the last one is love, which we'll hit next week. So racism, justice, and love. And it'll be pretty full of applications, I think. And I do want to share and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let's begin. Racism. Seems to me that much of what is happening stems from what most would call racism, centered around the color of a person's skin. This is obvious as we see and hear the words Black Lives Matter. At least in this instance, we have a black man killed by a white man. Now, I'm not going to cite statistics in this country concerning the longstanding issues of racism. You can do that for yourself. But racism has been with us from the founding of our country, and it is not unique to us. It exists in every country and every corner of the world. I remember our time in Russia. Over and over again, I saw people group after people group affected by some form of racism. Central Asian ethnicities found it extremely difficult and often impossible to live and function normally in society because of their skin color. And in my opinion, minority groups, especially those of another color, had much less opportunities than they would have had here in the USA. It was very bad there. And when we lived in Kenya, I was always greeted, and I always remember this, and this is not a bad thing at all, but I was always greeted in the villages by the songs of the children singing Mzungu, 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 which means white man, white man, white man. I remember talking with one of my Luo friends, one of the particular tribe in East Africa, and this tribe normally is known as having very black skin color. And I can't remember exactly our conversation, but I pointed to another black man referring to his color, to which my Luo friend laughed. And he said, "Ha, he's not black. He's brown." Brothers and sisters, there will always be differences in skin color. And sadly, racism, because of skin color, is not going away. So my question is, as Christians, how do we think? How do we act? So I have some applications and some thoughts. First application. The answers the world gives to combat racism falls short of God's answer. Think about it. What do we hear on the news? We hear everything about the white man or the black man or the red man or the yellow man. We see signs of protesters holding up signs about peace, saying, "Stop racism, Black Lives Matter." I get this completely, and I understand this. But here, the emphasis is often on the color of our skin. Others may move beyond skin color and speak of those who have power over against those who do not. Of those who have, quote, control and, quote, privilege, using such things to their advantage in order to discriminate. I get that as well. I understand this way of thinking. But in the end, this view of the world falls short of the solution. Why? Because racism flows from a heart of sin. If you remember back in early on in the Bible, remember Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother. Why did he do it? We might say because he thought Abel was more privileged. He had more advantages in the family. Maybe he was favored by God, which was certainly true, and other reasons. But in the end, why did he do it? Well, we should know this immediately if you've been listening as we preach through the book of James. He puts it this way: "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." That's James 1, 14 and 15. He also says in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "What causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel." According to James, racism falls under, I think, a larger category of what he calls showing favoritism or discrimination, which, if you want to go back even further, falls under the sin of, well, the evil desire that then births sin, which eventually leads back to the very heart of the matter. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the problem is always a sin issue. This means that racism will not end in this world as long as we have sinful hearts. We must realize that as Christians. Now, this doesn't mean that we ignore it or say, "Oh, well, is what it is." No, we don't do that. As civil authorities and citizens under these authorities, we must do what we can to fight against racism and favoritism and discrimination, and not give certain groups of people discriminatory power over other people groups. We shouldn't do that. Our laws should reflect our desire to end racism, and we should protest accordingly. And we should give freedom to those who want to protest according to the law. But at the end of the day, this is very important. Government does not have the power to change the heart. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it is not what goes into a man that defiles him, but that which comes out of a man's heart. So that's very important. The answers the world gives to combat racism falls very short of God's answer. Another application very quickly. I've said this before, we'll say it again, and we'll say it again in different ways. There is no place for discrimination or racism or showing favoritism in the heart or in the actions of a Christian. This is something that if we have racism and we think in such a way that we put down another person of another color, whoever they are, created in the image of God, there is no place for that. Therefore, we must not focus on the color of our skin, but on the person whom God created. Man looks upon what is outward. And that's what the world does. And we often do that as well as Christians. But God, He looks at the heart. We must see every person as created in the image of God with dignity and honor. This is our worldview. This is the lens through which we look upon one another. Another application which follows from this. In Christ, there is no color. The application here is for the church. We must not discriminate or show any kind of racism with one another. We cannot control what is going on outside the church, but we can do what is right in the church of Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11, if you want to turn there. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 18. I'm going to read them slowly, so listen. Paul says this, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by that what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands." And that's a lot of words there, but pay attention to the rest of this. He says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one." That is the principle there. Jew, Gentile, all peoples in Christ, no matter what color, no matter whatever the color of your skin is, Christ has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances in order that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace. And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So much more I can say there, and I may in our applications next week. Racism, that's the first category. Let's move on to the second. Justice. There are murders in this country and the world every day. But one of the things about our current crisis is we have the death of one man at the hand of a police officer, one who has authority by the state to uphold the law and carry out justice. Now, I'm not saying Mr. Floyd should not have been arrested. I don't know. You can read the official reports for yourself. However, it is what happened after the arrest that was clearly unjust. And on this fact, pretty much everyone agrees. Again, I do not claim to know the motives of the police officers involved, but their actions, which were filmed for everyone to see, certainly went beyond the boundaries of law and order. And they should be rightfully tried and prosecuted according to civil law. Why? Because it is a matter of justice. People are protesting because what happened was not just. If the police officers involved had done the right thing, the just thing, Mr. Floyd would still be alive today. His death and the events surrounding his death fills our hearts with all kinds of emotions. And one of those emotions is the sense of justice. We tend to say, wow, after watching that or reading about what happened, how can he do that? That's just not right. We say that because it is a matter of justice. This is one of those principles built into the fabric of every man and woman. No matter the government, the people, the culture, the institutions, whatever the order of society, there is always the existence and desire for justice. When someone breaks the law, to not punish that person is unjust. Police arrest those who break the law, and hopefully they're doing a good job, and I think they are. Mr. Floyd was being arrested on a matter of justice. Whether right or wrong, I don't know. People are upset because the police officers overstepped the bounds of justice. Racism, discrimination, showing favoritism is wrong because they are matters of justice. Children, think about this. What if your parents only make you wash the dishes, but then do not require your brother or your sister to do the same? What if they say you have to keep your room clean, but they don't have to keep their room clean? Then what are you going to say? Is that right? Is that just? Of course not. Wars happen over matters of justice. Even those who demand justice in their protests, we've seen very clearly, they go beyond what is just by destroying property and stealing from others. And we should be outraged at that as well, because it's just not just. So I ask, as Christians, how should we think and act justly? Well, consider the following applications. First one, we desire justice because it is God's design. Justice is built into, we might say, the DNA of all people because God is just. He is our creator and he is righteous. He cannot do that which is wrong. Do you remember what James says? He says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. James 1:13. God is holy, righteous, and good. This is his nature. He cannot be unjust, and we are his creation. And the idea of justice is part of who we are. It comes out of us. Parents, think about this. When your young child screams out, my brother hit me, or my sister hit me, what are they doing? They're screaming out for justice. This is what we are doing as people, what is happening around us. And frankly, when this passes, there will be something else because we are crying out for justice. And so we must not forget, as we think about our worldview, this is who God made us to be, and we should be very concerned with justice. Another application. Justice will come to all of us. Now, this is where we move into our Bible a little bit and think more biblically. Let me try and explain. To obey God is always the right thing to do. He is the Lord, and he demands obedience from his creation. And what God says is always right and just. In the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, we see God's command. Here's what he says. to Adam and Eve. He says, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there's the command. And here's what he says. He gives them what will happen if they do eat. He says, for in the day you eat of it, you will die. But Adam and Eve broke God's command. And what is the justice? Well, it is death. And since God can only do what is just, all of us will go to the grave. With the coronavirus, one of the things the civil government is trying to do is to save lives. And I'll give them credit for that. I don't know all the motives or everything that's going on, but at least initially, that's certainly how the thought, and I think that's the thought even now, but we can only save lives for now. We cannot vanquish the justice of death that comes to all of us, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. This means our cry for justice and our efforts to bring justice can never attain to take away the ultimate justice of death. For through it all, sin and death remain. No matter how much justice we bring right now, sin and death remain. And this is our problem. And this is what the world does not see. This is our worldview again, brothers and sisters. This is our lens. This is why justice can only go so far. Racism is one issue. Poverty is another issue. Social justice in whatever way is another issue. Many issues there. On and on and on we can go. We might lessen racism here in this country, and I hope we do. But then it will flourish in other places. Poverty may diminish in one place in the world, but it will pick up somewhere else. The rule of law may take care of corruption in one place, but in another, it rises. These are all pictures of our great injustice, which is to sin against our Maker and fall short of His glory. And this is what the world does not understand. Now, I don't say this, I don't preach this to say that we should not fight for injustice in this world. In fact, we must, and we'll come back to that in an application, we must fight for injustice. In fact, whether good or bad, government is God's gift to injustice. It is given to keep peace, including the protection of life, which I have yet to even mention abortion, which is by far the greatest societal injustice going on in this country and in the world, in my opinion. And that's for another time, but it is. We cry out for justice there. Therefore, as Christians, we can and we must stand against all injustice and even put our feet to action. Doesn't James also say religion that is pure and undefiled before God, God the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, he's speaking of widows and orphans, and in their context, boy, those are the ones that could not fend for themselves, and they were poor, and they could not take care of themselves. I think this is the principle goes much further. We should put our faith to action in whatever it is. And so in this regard, we must fight for justice. But I must say, no matter how much we accomplish in these matters, the greatest injustice still remains. And you should know what that is. This is our worldview. This is what the Bible teaches. The greatest injustice that still remains is sin against a holy God. So what can we do to combat or to get rid of this injustice in this regard? What can you do? Can you work your way to heaven? Can you be as good as you possibly can be? No, we can do absolutely nothing in and of ourselves to take care of this great injustice. If justice will ever conquer death, there must be something more. If there is hope for this world, there must be something else. If you would, turn back to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians again, chapter 2. For some of my most favorite words in all the Bible, here we see what the world does not see. And we must know that, brothers and sisters. We see it like this because the Spirit has given us grace and enlightened and given us new hearts, and we understand the world as it really is. The world does not see. It is the mercy of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is God's ultimate answer to injustice. Let me say that again. Here's the answer. And God must give it. It is the mercy of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is God's ultimate answer to injustice. Look at verses 1-7 of Ephesians chapter 2. Again, it goes along with what we were reading just a few minutes ago, later on in the chapter. He says, and you were dead. There's where we get, and other passages as well, that we can do nothing in and of ourselves to take care of the greatest justice, which is sin against a holy God. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That is what the world is doing now. And even as Christians, we see things more clearly, and we're able to cry out in a more clear way what should happen with justice. But there's the world. Let me begin that again. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Following not only the course of this world, but following the prince of the power of the air. That is Satan. There's a spiritual world that is going on, that's taking place that we cannot see. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And he says, among whom we all, I imagine the Apostle Paul thinking back to his time when he persecuted Christians and cried out for what he thought was justice, thinking to his own heart, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires, goes back to James, desires of the body and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Stop for a second. Let that sink in. According to these words, there is no hope in and of ourselves, only the justice of God. But now, look at verse 4, and here's the words that I often bring up. But God. There's my favorite words. But God. Being rich in mercy because of the great love. And we're going to be there next week. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. There you go. We did not deserve to be set free from our sin. We deserved to be punished. Justice should have been served upon us through death and separation from God. But even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. What beautiful words. This is the mercy of God to bring justice. So this means our final application this morning. As Christians, we should care the most about injustice in this world because we know what true justice is. And when we care, we must always take the opportunity to point people to true justice that is to be found in Christ. How ironic that it took the death of Jesus to bring about God's justice. This was the plan, the great mystery from before the foundations of the world. This is the gospel. This is what will bring justice. Who would have thought of such a plan? As we look at our own lives and we see how we have sinned against a holy God. And I pray that even now, as you listen to these words, that the Holy Spirit would convict and point out sin and show you how sinful you were, and even now how sinful you are, that we might look unto Christ. Because in the death of Christ, God is both the just one and the one who justifies. He is the just one. We can do nothing in this regard to justify ourselves. And he is the one who justifies. He is the one who must carry out the plan of the gospel. So, how beautiful is this, brothers and sisters? Who would have thought of such a plan? When we consider the unjust death of Mr. Floyd, we must look further and consider the justice of God. I do not know if he was found in Christ or not. I hope that he was. I hope the justice of God was carried out on his behalf in the gospel of Christ. But these things are out of our control. This means that the only hope for our country and this world concerning true justice is the gospel of Christ. And for this, we must pray. And for this, we must live. This means the battle we are engaged in is not a physical battle, but a spiritual battle for souls in this world. And as our nation is so outraged about this injustice, shouldn't we also be so concerned with the true injustice plaguing every soul of the sons of Adam? Yet, we spend more time filling our agendas with the things that we see on the television than we do in prayer. And I will confess my sins here. We spend more time filling our agendas with these things, the things of the world, than we do in prayer, the reading of God's word, the searching out of God's word, the memorizing of God's word, and then sharing with our neighbors so that they might know the good news. So with these things in mind, may God have mercy upon us. And I pray that as a church, these words will spur us on a bit. Help us to think biblically. And I know I could have said so much more. And I could have addressed so many more things. And next week, I'm going to address a few more things and recap that a bit and think about love. But I pray that today these words will be helpful as we watch the news, as we talk to our neighbors, and as we consider what is going on. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you are the just one and that you are the one who justifies. But God, you commanded your love towards us, and while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. We give thanks. And we give thanks by the Spirit in Jesus' name as a new people. And we know that you have broken down the wall of separation and you've given us peace. And I pray that you would give us great grace this morning, this day, as we hear these words. We give you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. Past sermons can be found at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. If you have an iPhone or a Mac, you can download the podcast app and do a search for Grace Baptist Church China Grove and subscribe, and you'll be updated every week. Thank you for listening, and be intentional in making disciples this week.